Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Happy Game 7, everybody.
It's a great weekend of NBA. There's only one Game 7 happening this weekend, so which is unexpected. Anyways, guys, my name is Tanner Dawson of the Sports Buffoons, and let's talk sports here. Join with me on every weekend here, Scott Cobe, SJCobe1 on Twitter of Let's Talk Sports. Scott, what's up, dude?
Not much, and I got the only Game 7 in the NBA this year, so.
Right. There you go. And then we got JG.
Yo, 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 what it do? What it do?
What's up, JG? So
I'm pissed. My Warriors are cooked.
I was about to say, it was quite a craziness going into play, and your teams are out, Jason.
Yeah, well, the Spurs have been out for a while, so I wasn't too worried about them.
Since Popovich retired, is that basically what we're saying?
Oh, well. Yeah, I don't know if he might be retired mentally, but he's still there physically, so I don't know what's going on over
That's
there.
What I was talking about.
Oh, man. Guys, before we get started here, I know we're going to talk some about the losers here and these matchups that happened. And there's still one more game still to go, guys, this weekend. That's tomorrow night. Celtics, Sixers going at Game 7. We might give a little tiny preview on that towards the end here, so. But, you know, I want to say one thing here. Who would have thought we'd see the Los Angeles freaking Lakers, who combined for Anthony Davis and LeBron James, play 35 games this season. They each missed 20-plus throughout the season. They were, I think, 500. They were below 500 going to the trade deadline, let alone the All-Star break.
Yeah, they were.
And now they're in the conference finals against the Nuggets. Who would have thought? So I just a little rant there. It's just like amazing to me that we wrote this team out 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and now they're here.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about Anthony Davis. If Anthony Davis plays like he did in most of the series, they're a dangerous threat. I mean, the offset is the home court advantage for Denver and the altitude, and you know, it's a huge home court advantage for them. But again, you have a veteran Lakers team and you have guys coming off the bench that contribute and play well. So it's a wide open series. I thought going in Denver would win in five or six. Now, I don't know. I just don't know. Yeah. It depends on Anthony Davis. That's the whole thing for them.
Yeah. And Anthony Davis really didn't do shit in this last game. He had 17 points in their closeout game.
Yeah,
and that's why I look at that last game six versus the Warriors. I don't think that the Lakers really accomplished that much. I think it was more about the Golden State Warriors just folding, man. Yeah. And we could see signs of it all along with their road record and the Draymond punch against Jordan Poole. We could kind of see little signs of it, but I never really believed it until they finally lost. You didn't have game six Clay, and really nobody showed up. I mean, when Dante DiVincenzo is your second leading scorer with 16 points, you had a bad year. And I know you can't judge a full season off of one game, but when I look at that game, it defines their whole season, because Curry was the only guy, a guy, by the way, who never shows up when he plays in Los Angeles against the Lakers. Traditionally has some shitty games when he plays in LA. He of all people showed up, and that was it. I mean, Kevon Looney had 18 rebounds, but literally the rest of the Warriors didn't show up to the game. So I give the Warriors more credit for losing this game than I give the Lakers in winning this game, because yeah, I understand that you had a couple of role players and D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves who had a great game, but that's to be expected when you're playing at home. Yeah. Anthony Davis didn't do shit. So that would be my biggest concern. And I think that's our
concern. Hang on now, JG. There was 20 boards as well inside these 17 points.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's the alpha now. He's the guy that's supposed to lead this team in terms of scoring. And LeBron James kind of had to pick him up in this game, putting up 30. So AD is my biggest concern headed into the next series, like he is with all series, is like, are you going to get – how many – like, are you going to get three good games out of AD? Or are you going to get two good games out of AD? So, yeah, I mean, I think it should be an interesting series, but, you know, I'm not going to be surprised either way. I think Denver still has a lot more to prove. I mean, the Lakers with AD and LeBron, they already have a championship. So they don't have nearly as much to prove. But Denver's never really done anything, and so they should have more fire, a little bit more passion going into the series, and they should be really able to take advantage of that home court advantage in the altitude.
Well, here's the thing also. Anthony Davis is going to cover Jokic, I think. So that's going to take away from Anthony Davis on the offensive end because he's going to exert a lot of energy on the defensive end. So I don't particularly think you're going to see Anthony Davis scoring 20 to 25 in a game. I think you're more looking at like 12 to 15 because of all the energy he's going to exert on the defensive end trying to stop Joker. So
and I agree with you I agree with you on that because Darvin Ham is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
So he's not going to really give a shit. He's not going to give two shits about what AD does on the offensive side. Right. They're just going to have to, you know, do what they can. But this is a defensive minded team, no matter how you slice it. And so I totally agree with you on that, Scott.
I was going to say, like, if I see this kind of stat line versus Joker, I think you did a good job. If you're sitting here with 17 and 20 and you finish the game like that, I think the Lakers won then at that point, because that's insane. Like to have a 17 and 20, especially against a guy like Joker, who's what would he add 24, 17 and 17. Like if you can contain that guy, you contain the Nuggets. So speaking of which, Jason, we're talking about the losers here today, the disappointments, some would say. You know, let's stick on this Golden State Lakers series that happened here. And like you said, you talked about it though. The main squad did not show up. Stephen, great, 32 points. But like you said, there was no support. And Mr. Bockens is on here, and he says there's no pool party this year, JG. No pool party.
Yeah, the pool party is dry, man. They're going to have to find somebody else to fill that pool.
We do got Bockens out here. He says, what up, y'all? Jimmy a dog. No pool party this year, JG. We all need to put some respect on LeBron Lakers. Tufel out here saying, what's up, Tufel, fellers? And the Bockens show switched over to YouTube. Jokic will make AD his son. It's going to be such an interesting matchup. But what do we expect here? I want to know your thoughts real quick, JG. What do we expect here of this Golden State team as we enter the offseason for them?
So watch a little bit of the post-game press conference, and Steve Kerr said that these guys, this core with Klay, Draymond, and Steph have plenty left in the tank. And I tend to agree with him on that. Now, Draymond Green has a $27.5 million player option. But, you know, so he can opt, he can decline that option and become an unrestricted free agent. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that Draymond has a whole lot of value on another team. He has tremendous value on the Warriors. He's 33 years old. Now, I would like to see him shoot better from beyond the arc. That seems to be his Achilles heel these last couple of years. But I think they have to keep these guys. And if I'm going to trade somebody away, and I talked to Scott a little bit earlier on this, maybe you could trade Klay Thompson, but you're not trading away any of those young guys unless you're just going to punt away your entire future. So you're not going to get rid of Poole and Kuminga and Moody. Those guys, they're still developing. And I know we look at Jordan Poole, he can be an elite scorer. He's still just, 24 years old? So he's still a developing player. And that's the future of this team. And so I'm not trading any of their younger guys away. But I could certainly see a scenario where they try to move off of Clay. You're not going to move off of Wiggins for sure. You gave him a big contract. He missed a ton of time this year, which is one of the reasons why they just didn't get enough from him in the playoffs, not to mention the fact that he had a rib cartilage fracture in game five, and he was playing through a tremendous amount of pain. So he wasn't 100%. In my opinion, let's run it back, because these guys, they've already proven that they're champions. We know how difficult it is to go back to back in this league. I mean, we go back and we look at the Lakers back in the day, and when LeBron was on the Miami Heat, we think that it's just super easy for these great players to go back to back. It's not. It's one of the hardest things to do. And so I still think these guys are young enough to run it back just with the exact same crew. I love Gary Payton II, and I think these guys will have a lot to play for next year. And they should come out fired up. And I like I said, the young guys, they just need to keep developing. And I think they will be better next year. But I'm certainly not moving off of any of these guys, with the exception of possibly Klay Thompson.
All right. Wait, you agreement, Scott?
Yeah. I mean, look at all the basketball these guys have played. They've been playing into late May, middle of June, every year, basically, for the last pretty close to a decade now. And that catches up with you eventually. And they're not getting any younger. The question in Golden State would be this: is a year too soon that you want to start trying to move on from pieces? Or do you want to hang on to this as long as you possibly can before you say, you know what, it's run its course, that's it, we're done? So that's up to the GM to figure out when is the right time to pull the plug on this and restart it over again. Granted, they don't have to get a lot. They have a lot of good pieces in their organization. But again, as JG said, I think Clay is the expendable trade piece here for the Warriors.
And even with Clay, I mean, we all talk about him being like 33. Him and Draymond are the same age.
Yeah.
To me, in basketball years, Clay's only 31 years old because he basically didn't play for 2 years. So I think Clay, out of all those guys, should have the most juice left in the tank. Now, he went through phases this season and even into the playoffs where he just – didn't look like Clay. I mean, we always call him Game 6 Clay. The guy, even though he's 100% physically, I don't think he's 100% in terms of his game. And I think he's got another healthy year under his belt. And I just think if Clay, you know, works hard in the offseason, I think his shooting percentage is going to be a little bit better next year. But again, I don't view as Klay Thompson being as old as the other guys just because he's had so much time off due to injury.
I would agree with that 100%.
So before we get to the comments here, because we do got a few for you, look, here's my thoughts on this thing. You just won a championship last year when you probably shouldn't have, but you did. Right. You made the playoffs this year despite a horrendous road record this year that really took effect, especially in the playoffs, as we saw. You beat the Kings, who were considered one of the favorites in the West, and you just ran into a very hot Lakers team at the moment, healthy Lakers team. And I don't see any reason to blow this up. You make the playoffs when you're healthy, when you're all together. Now, if there's a concern that you're foreshadowing right now, that there is going to be a key injury to a Steph, to a Draymond, to a Clay, that's going to affect majority of the season next year, sure, make a move, blow it up. But I don't foreshadow that. I don't see that. These all guys looked healthy. They looked tired, but they looked healthy. And I don't see any reason to blow this thing up when you just won a championship last year. You got into the playoffs this year without having to play in the playing game. Like, this doesn't make any sense of why we're talking about blowing it up.
No, they're a top, what, 3 or 4 team in the West.
Oh, easily.
I think easily. So I don't think you really blow it up totally, but I think you can put in some minor pieces in there to get better, if you want to say that. So they could sign a couple of free agents. you know,
yeah.
mid-level.
I mean, that, but don't blow up the floor.
Yeah.
Like yeah, keep your keep your Wiggins, keep your you can keep Wiggins, Steph, Clay, Looney, and Draymond.
Looney's a beast on the defensive boards. So
there's a guys you're able to keep. I don't
well,
see
I'll say something about if you're worried about guys getting injured, dude, that's their best case scenario because that's what happened with Clay. Or I'm sorry, that's what happened with Steph last year.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, sorry, I just lost you guys for a second. So that's what happened with Steph last year. They actually played better because they put Jordan Poole in the starting lineup in the first round of the playoffs, and that's when Poole exploded.
Yeah.
So when these guys get, you know, these little nagging injuries and they miss time, that's what makes the younger guys play better because they're getting more volume, and so they're getting more experience. And so,
yeah,
I mean, and – you know, there's always a risk of catastrophic injury, but, you know, if there's a little nagging injury at some point throughout the year, I think that actually helps them because it gives the younger guys more time.
Yeah. So yeah, quick comments, comments here. We got Bodkins out here says, you don't blow it up with Steph. That's what I was saying. It just doesn't seem right. Tufel says, and as an outsider, it seems pretty easy to get a championship. The owner that opens a wallet for two or three divas win it. Sure. You get maybe one. That's what we saw. I mean, the Heat, It took them, what, 2 years to get one before that? And you had three, four divas in that one, with including Ray Allen. So,
yeah.
It seems that easy, but it sure seems that easy in NFL, and it's not at all. We'll skip this question. Bodkins, we'll get to that nervous question towards the end. And then says Bodkins has a great question. This is a great one. Who plays more games together going forward? Steph, Clay, and Green, or KD, Booker, and Paul?
Steph, Clay, and Green for me, because I don't think Paul's coming back to Phoenix this year.
No, he's gone. He's gone for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Tufel says enough. I realize I'm a lot more than three guys to make a great team now. And there's we can get in debates about it between NBA and NFL later. So, guys, let's transition into that game there. You just answered the question about the KD, Booker, and Paul stuff. Suns lose to the Nuggets. Kind of a disappointed all-in trade they did in a way because they lost all their depth, like we talked about. Ayton was a no-show. He ended up being injured that last game with a ribs injury. And then you had Chris Paul still out. JG, I'll start with you, man. Suns, what? What in the world is up with this?
Yeah, I'm not buying the DeAndre Ayton injury. I think that was a situation where the coach figured out that the guy needed to go to the bench, but since he's making so much money, we're not going to really call him out for being benched. We want to make sure that nobody really knows what really happened, so that's why they put that injury tag on him. But I'm not buying it. He's just a bad fit for that team. He can't shoot threes. I think he's made 21 three-pointers in his entire career.
Yeah.
So that guy needs to go. We all know, I told you guys 2 years ago that CP3 needed to go. And so I love Booker and Durant, although neither one of those guys really showed up in that last game. Now, to be fair, Booker was playing out of his mind for the entire playoffs. So I don't put any of this on Booker. I mean, he only had 12 points in the game, but at some point – you know, when you're on fire like that, you're going to have a bad game. But if campaign is your leading scorer, you're not going to win a closeout game like that. So moving forward, they got to find somebody. I know Mike from the Sports Buffoons was saying that they want to go out and get either Fred VanVleet or Terry Rozier. And I'd be all in on either one of those options. Yeah, and man, I would try to make a deal and just – move DeAndre Ayton out of there because you could find a deal with either Toronto or Charlotte that would make some contracts match up. And the Suns, although they gave up four first round picks to get KD, they still have a 2024 and a 2026 first round pick that they could use to move off of CP3. They're going to have to find a team just to move that contract. But then B, also figure out a way to move DeAndre Ayton. Now, I don't know if Toronto would take a player like that. Maybe. I mean, their big man is Jakob Poeltl. So that's something that they could use to get better. Do they want to move off of Fred VanVleet and do a reset? You know, I don't know if I buy that. I think, you know, the Terry Rozier deal makes more sense to me because the Hornets are not in a position to really win anything right now. Right. They've got a couple of bigs and Mark Williams and Nick Richards. But if I'm the Suns, that's who I'm going to target because they've got to figure out that point guard position. I really like Campaign, but to me, you already have zero depth on that team. So if I've got to bring in a point guard, I want to leave Campaign as my sixth man at this point. And so I'm looking for a new starting point guard to replace Chris Paul.
I like, hey, by the way, DeAndre Ayton has made 21 career three-pointers, 7 of them this season. Just so you know. It's insane.
21 threes, man.
21 threes.
And, meanwhile, he's on a team that got rid of all of their three and D guys.
So, all of them, dude.
Phoenix just said, Torrey Craig, dude. They went all in. They did what they had to do, and
exactly.
If they can figure out a way to, you know, bring in another guy, then hell yeah, do it. I mean, if you want to be like the LA Rams and say F them picks, then hell yeah. Get rid of those last two first round picks and bring in a guy and just go all in for 1 or 2 years. Cause you know, after next year, I mean, Kevin Durant, I mean, he's going to be a declining player after next year. So you have to go all in. So I would totally say F them picks.
Yeah. Cause we mentioned at the beginning of the series, Booker and Durant have to score 70 a night for them to even stand a chance to win. They do not have a third player that presents a problem shooting the basketball, in my mind, consistently. And they thought it was DeAndre Ayton was going to be that third player, number three, until it wasn't, and it's not. So a Terry Rozier could present a shooting problem for teams. He could present a guy that could shoot 45 to 48% from the field. They need something like that because, as JG said, Durant is going to decline here if he hasn't already. So they need to go all in this year to try to win it all, because if not, that Durant trade is not going to look really great come next, not next year, but the year after. So they need to find some players around to build around Durant and Booker, because you're just wasting Booker's prime years right now. Booker is in his prime NBA playing years right now, and he could score 30 just waking up and getting out of bed in his sleep. So you have to build it for this coming year, and you've got to find a way to get rid of Ayton. You got to find a way to get rid of Paul, and you got to bring in a VanVleet or a Terry Rozier, or find the best shooter in the free agent market and go after him no matter what you have to do to get him. So,
and DeAndre Ayton he's the guy that you got to move for sure. Yeah. And I'd be okay with Rozier or VanVleet. Yeah. I guess I'm slightly biased towards VanVleet just because he's a Wichita State guy, but I also feel like he's a guy that teams fear. I think they're both really great players, him and Rozier, but I just feel like VanVleet is a guy that strikes a little bit more fear into the opponents. And so that would be my choice if they can figure out a way to get that deal done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That'd be pretty insane there. By the way, DeAndre, in his one college year with Arizona, made 12 three-pointers that year. So nothing too flashy at all there. I think you guys already said it. Go find yourself a real point guard. Go find yourself.
He is a max player making – he's not a super max, but he's a max player making $32.4 million.
That contract's going to be almost
– I don't think you
impossible.
Move –
impossible.
No, I think they can move it. I think they can move it because I think he's got – I know we look at bigs that don't shoot threes as like, some, you know, just kind of a declining asset in this league.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, somebody I think would – especially if you package together a first-round pick, I think somebody would take DeAndre Ayton because he just – He is a presence in the paint. He's an excellent rebounder, and he's a great scorer around the rim. And there might be a team out there that says, hey, we want to bring him in and see if we can push him out and make him develop that three-point shot a little bit better.
Yeah. I think you're in that way. I don't think he moves until closer to the trade deadline next year. I think he's on the team to start, but I think if he gets moved, it's going to be during that time. So that's the only time I see Ayton moving.
Yeah.
On that. So let's get to the comments here before we move on here. Let's see here. We already did that one. Yep, we did that one. I'm off here. All right. Bakken says can't play 2-on-5. That's exactly. Kind of correct. A little harder correct. To do that. More like 2-on-7 some days. Yeah,
that's correct, but you can play 3-on-5. That's why we want Van Fleet on the Suns.
That's right. Alan, we'll come back to that All-NBA team stuff here. Alan says the Suns need depth on top of everything else. Yeah, well, yeah. That always helps a little bit there, at least having a couple of guys that can shoot. Only 21 more than us combined. Man, I'd have 25 at least. If I was just wide open down low, the Bakken says Pacers gave Ayton that deal last year. Suns matched it. That is true. The Pacers was going to take that, and the Suns decided to keep him for because weren't they trying to get Miles Turner? Was that a rumor last year in the offseason? The Suns were trying to get Turner.
I want to say yes. I want to say yeah.
Ended up falling through for whatever reason. Kind of disappointing there. All right. Yeah. So, let's move on here. We got two more series quickly. Well, actually, one more series to talk about here on the Lutzen side. New York, Miami. Miami finally took care of business there against New York, a banged-up team. Jalen Brunson, by the way, what a freaking guy. Unbelievable.
You want to talk about a guy that just made a max contract, his next contract? There's your guy right
there. There's your guy.
There's your guy.
Jason, we'll start with you, buddy. Jalen Brunson, superstar yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to give it to him. I think he is a superstar, and part of that is just being the fact that he's in that market playing for the Knicks at MSG. Definitely a superstar player. This series was kind of a disaster in some ways because Julius Randle, you didn't really get to see a Julius Randle that was 100% because he was banged up. But if I'm looking towards next year, man, you got to bring in another guy. See, because Jalen Brunson is an absolute dog. Even if you don't think he's a superstar, he's got that dog in him, guy that reminds me of Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that's just, he can be the leader of this team. And I think it's probably time to go ahead and move off of Julius Randle. They could have moved off of RJ Barrett and brought in Donovan Mitchell, but they chose not to do that. You know what? I'm just going to throw something out at you guys because we all think there's a lot of players that are just untradeable that teams would never get rid of. If I'm the Knicks and I've got 10 first round picks at my disposal, which is what they have, they've got 3 first rounders. In 2024, they've got the 2023 pick and 6 other first rounders. I want to know what the price is. I'm going to call up the Thunder and say, tell me what the price is for SGA, because I've got Julius Randle on the table. I've got Emmanuel Quickley. I'm willing to deal RJ Barrett, and I've got 10 fucking picks at my disposal. I want to know what the price is for SGA, who just made first team All NBA. And, you know, it might be a situation where the Thunder don't want to do that deal, but dude, they've got a lot of young assets in OKC. And if they get a shitload of picks, that might be a deal that they want to do. But again, I'm biased because, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of my favorite players in the league and he's an absolute monster. Could you imagine getting another guy like that who is another absolute dog superstar on a team with Jalen Brunson? I mean, that's how I would want to build my core if I were the Knicks moving forward.
Number one, the Dallas Mavericks. What are they thinking now?
How ticked off are you if you're Luka?
Clippers taken?
Yeah.
Clippers. How ticked off are you if you're Luka right now? Like you have to, you cannot be not sitting in your chair watching this game and be like, man, do I really want to stay a Maverick? Do I want to request a trade now? Because at this point, your team didn't even offer your number two, your supporting guy that took you to, you know, you took with you to the conference finals there last year, and then you missed the playoffs this year trying to with trading with Kyrie Irving. You cannot be telling me that Luka's sitting here not pondering, talking to his agent like, another team sounds pretty nice right now.
Well, fuck it. Send Luka to the Knicks then.
New York would blow up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be insane.
Did I hear correctly that OKC has a ton of first-round draft picks as well for the next few years here?
Yeah, they're loaded.
I thought I had heard that. So would they be willing to add one or two more first-round draft picks next year to get rid of Shai Alexander? Possible. If they think the draft class is going to be really, really good next year, adding two more first-round draft picks and building it up as quick as they can might be something they want to do. But they would have – the Knicks would probably have to put Randall, Quigley, and a couple of draft picks in there for Shai.
I'm just saying I would make the phone call, but if I'm OKC, I mean, I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably, what, only 24 years old?
Yeah.
I could still consider him a developing player based on his age, even though he's made first-team All-NBA. Right. So – yeah, I mean, like I said, there's always a price for everybody, but I'm making the phone call. But if I'm OKC, I'm going to ask for the farm for sure.
So here's my other thought. See, the Knicks are an ascending team right now, so they got to strike now while they can. What would it take to get Trae Young out of Atlanta?
Probably 3 or 4. That'd be it. And maybe
What is Atlanta's mindset on Trae Young right now?
Last I heard, they were looking to trade him anyways at the trade deadline.
Yeah. So getting like 2 or 3 first round draft picks and a couple players to get for Trae Young, Atlanta might be enticed to do something like that.
Well,
and then all of a sudden you got Trae Young and Brunson in the backcourt. I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Well, if Luka is pissed off enough, he might be begging for Trae Young on the map.
It's highly possible. Man. Imagine Luka in New York with that team. Oh, my God.
That'd be a blow up. real quick, guys. So I looked it up for the Thunder because we talked about it for the draft picks. They have one draft first round of this year, 2 seconds. Then 2024, they got 4 first rounders.
Yeah.
2025, they have 4 first rounders. 2026, they got 3 first rounders. And so then they get 2 in 2027.
Could you see them have 6 first rounders next year?
So that's a total of 16 first-round picks. If they get all 10 from the Knicks, now they've got 26 first-round picks.
Holy moly. Holy moly.
So, yeah, like I said, the SGA is a pipe dream. That's probably not going to happen.
But, like I said, the Knicks are now an ascending franchise in the East. They need to strike now while they are an ascending team.
They got to go and get guys. Yeah.
Get somebody, but you got to move off Julius Randle, man. He is maxed out. You've already seen his ceiling, but he has value. You could get a lot for Julius Randle. So I think it's time to move on.
Absolutely, no doubt.
I agree. We'll cut to the comments real quick here. Let's go, Randle. Where was he? Nowhere. That's the issue. Do you trade RJ Barrett? He was abysmal. From Botkins here. I mean, you could have last year, but I don't know if you're going to get much value this year from him.
I think you float Randle out there first before you float Barrett.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe
your two guys that have the most value are Randle and Emmanuel Quickley. Because Emmanuel Quickley, he's got a bright career ahead of him. But, they should have traded RJ Barrett last year, and now who knows what – I mean, his value is way down at this point.
Yeah, he needs to build up.
Tufel says there's only one untradeable player in all the sports, and that's Mahomes. That's fair. And then we talked about Shai. Alan is a Thunder fan, so he says that's a no for me, dog. More like hell no. Yes, it's like 17 the next 4 years from Alan. Boggins says no, you build around Shai. Got roll boys. Oh, he's out. See you, Boggins. Appreciate you, buddy. Alan says bring Trey Young back home, and then Boomer. Of course, he wants him in Oklahoma City. He wants Trey Young in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I don't think Oklahoma City is going to be in the market for trading to bring get rid of first rounders. They're going to want to build as many picks as they can.
Like you said, the opposite of the Rams, right?
Okay, I'll give you another team who could use Julius Randle and all those picks. How about the Boston Celtics, who may want to move off of Jaylen Brown? Jaylen Brown is another guy that makes sense on the Knicks.
Yeah, it won't happen, Boston. With New York trading in the division, I don't think it's going to happen. But I think if the Celtics lose tomorrow, I think that the Jaylen Brown rumors will heat up big time.
I think he wants the hell out of there anyway, and I think he does too. Even if it's in division, like I said, there's always a price for everybody, and I think the Knicks with all those picks, you got to figure out what that price is.
Jaylen Brown wants to go to a team, I believe, where he can be the number one. That's what I think.
He'd still be one or 1A on the Knicks.
Exactly. No doubt. I think he'd be a perfect fit in New York.
Yeah.
So,
Tufel says, I still don't understand how a cesspool of dirt like OKC has an NBA team, but KC doesn't.
We do. Yeah, we've talked about it before. Yep. Kansas City, we do have an NBA team. It's called the Jayhawks.
Yep.
That's why we would never sell tickets here, because that's our NBA.
All they would be. All right. Two quick topics, guys. We'll talk about the Celtics Sixers prediction real quick here. Bakken's did state earlier in the comments, hey, Scott, are you nervous or what? Because that's what he wants to know. So, Scott, we'll start with you. What's your quick thoughts and a prediction on that?
Doc did what Doc does in game six. He had a chance to close it out, couldn't close it out. They're 0-8 in the last 8 chances to close out to go to a conference final with Doc Rivers as coach, Philadelphia. So they looked very bad in the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. They looked like a team that basically said, once Tatum heated up with 5 minutes left, they basically said, nope, we're done. We held him down as long as we could. He's alive. We're done. This game six is over. They didn't want to come back up here for game seven. So I think the Celtics will win game seven and go on to play Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right. JG?
I'm going to go with the Sixers here. Harden really didn't show up to the game, so he should be a little bit better. Tobias Harris didn't really show up. Really nobody showed up except for Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. And so I think – you should see a little bit of reversion back towards the mean with some of these role players, and particularly James Harden. He's going to give you more. I mean, I feel like he's due for another one of his James Harden 40-point games. I'm going to give the Sixers the edge here. Number one, because they have the MVP of the league. They've got the best player on the court in Joel Embiid. And number two is Doc's going to get fucking fired. In fact, I'll be the first one to do it. I'm going to threaten him right now while we're live. Doc, if you're listening, if you don't win this game, you're fucking fired. Okay. So get your shit together. We all know about your history of imploding with teams after you have a lead in a playoff series. Okay. Whoop. You do it again, you're fired, and everybody.
Oh, you're fired again, huh?
We need Doc. We need Doc to show up, and I do believe he's capable. You know, we don't think of him as a championship coach, but he is a championship coach.
Yep.
And you know, I don't want to see him get fired, but I also want to see the best player on the floor and Joel Embiid win the series. So I'm going to go with the Sixers here. But it should be a highly contested matchup there in game seven.
Where was Embiid the last 6 minutes? He got almost no touches in the last 6 minutes of that game.
Was it? Yeah, I think it was the last. And Al Horford, yeah, I think they said in the last 4 minutes, he did not touch the ball. And so they were trying to, I heard one guy try to put the blame on all three guys. He tried to blame Doc for not giving the ball. Then he tried to blame Harden. And then he tried to blame Joel Embiid
for not
calling for the fucking ball. I'm like, dude, if you're the coach, that is your job.
That's right. Okay? I agree.
This is not about Joel Embiid asking for the ball. This is not about James Harden. James Harden has already proven that he's an assist machine. Proven he is an elite playmaker. He's not a ball hog. Okay. This has nothing to do with those guys. This all sits at the feet of Doc Rivers.
It does.
Get him the fucking ball in the last 4 minutes of the game or you're fired. I already put it out there.
The last comment I'll make before we move on is it seems like Doc Rivers said to them, don't give Joel the ball in the last 4 minutes. Don't give him the ball. Go someplace else. Don't give him the ball. Let's rest him. We got game seven coming.
So, yeah, and then you just start to go down the road of, okay, is it staged? You know, because then when you see shit like that happen, you think the game is staged because that certain things like Embiid not getting the ball in the last 4 minutes makes absolutely no sense.
Zero.
There's no reason for that to ever happen except for that these games could be staged. And if that's the case, then the NBA should let Philly win this series because that was bullshit at the end of that game.
Yeah, because ABC said, we don't have a game seven. We need Philadelphia, Doc. Don't forget it. Don't coach it.
Yeah, they didn't want Doc to win that.
That's amazing. Comments real quick here. No one cares about KUJG. Hey, don't diss my Jayhawks, Tufel. Love you all, but don't diss my Jayhawks. Alan says it's not accessible. It's a cluster. You know what? And then Alan says, Lane down at the end of the game. Sounds like the Texas bullpen. Hey, Scott and I talked about that earlier.
We did.
That was a blow right there. Always a great show by Sage. Sage, appreciate you.
Sage, thank you
for tuning in. And then Bobby G coming into here. Doc is the most overrated coach in NBA history. Hmm. Do you agree, JG?
I don't know if I'd say overrated because there's a lot of coaches that only have one championship, and that's basically what he is. And he had to have a big three to do it. Well, in my opinion, he had a big four because Rondo was an all-star that year.
Yep.
So when you've got four fucking superstars on one team, you really didn't accomplish that much. And so a lot of coaches throughout history, I wouldn't say that he's overrated because in my eyes, he really hasn't accomplished that much.
Right.
No, he's not. I agree.
All right, guys. Final topic here of the day. Just wanted quick thoughts here. They released the All-NBA first team or All-NBA teams here the other day. You're all-NBA first teams, Luka, Shai, Giannis, Tatum, and Embiid. You guys all agree on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they got it right. They got it right for sure.
Yeah. And I think LeBron make like second?
13, NBA. I think you got
13. That's his 19th straight of making the all NBA teams at some
best
point.
Best player of all time, man. Yeah. He's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Love it. So yeah, I just want to touch base.
You gotta win a championship though. You gotta win a championship. Actually, he needs three more championships.
He's waiting for Bronny to become a pro before he wins the next one, I think.
Well, he's gonna maybe win this one, right? But yeah, I just because last year, JG, we did this on our Wednesday show with Mike, and we had some discrepancies around this. So this year, it looks like they actually got it right for the first team and the second teams and the third team. So I feel good about it. You guys feel good about it. That's good.
Absolutely.
So, Alan, there is your NBA. There's not much to say about it. So Tufel says, why doesn't anyone hire that coach that flings chairs at people? I heard he was an all-time great. That's just
he's dead. I thought Knight was dead.
No, he's about 87 years old and in a wheelchair or something. I don't know.
Throw him out there in a wheelchair. Maybe he'll instead of throwing chairs, he'll wheel his ass onto the court and punch somebody.
So he was hospitalized a month ago. He's in and out, and he's still kicking. He's probably still yelling at people, you know, the way he probably does normally. He's 82, by the way, 82. So, I mean, that'd be great. I mean, he'll probably fling his wheelchair he's in probably at people, if that's the same. So,
as soon as Doc gets fired, I think they should hire Nick Nurse.
Yeah. Well, I think Milwaukee might beat them to it. So we'll have to see. That's for another show. Everybody, make sure you hit the like, subscribe, hit the bell, because you know when we're on there. We got a great show coming up Monday with Buffoon Botkins. Great show Wednesday, another NBA show with the Sports Buffoons and Mr. Mike from the other Sports Buffoon. And we'll be back here next weekend with In the Hoop with Scott Code. So everybody, have a fabulous weekend. Hope you got good weather out there. It's a little hot. I'm going to go back and do some more lawn work here. And then enjoy Game 7 tomorrow night, Celtics, Sixers. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week. We'll see you guys.
Yay, yay.